It's good to be back, although I've never been to this building. It's good to be back at the church, because you're the church. This is just a building that houses it. And it's really nice. I'm glad you got it. Lord really blessed you with a nice building here. And thankful for the opportunity. And I want to thank you for inviting me, because I count it a great privilege to preach the Bible and in the Lord's churches. All right, turn in your Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 3. It's probably verses that you have memorized. A very familiar passage of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I want to preach tonight a message entitled Trusting God at All Times. Trust, what does that mean? Well, the dictionary defines it like this. Trust is a belief in and reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, surety of a person or a thing. So when it says for us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, we couldn't have a better person to trust in, to rely on, to depend upon his integrity, strength, and ability. Trust implies instinctive, unquestioning belief in and reliance upon someone. And again, as it relates to God, we ought to have an unquestioning belief and a complete reliance upon our God, on his word, on his truth, on his promises. Now, there are synonyms that go along with the word trust. Confidence. That implies a conscious trust because of good reasons, definite evidence, or past experience. Well, tonight, I'm going to give you a lot of good reasons based on evidence from the inspired, infallible Word of God as to why you ought to have complete and absolute confidence in God. And then another word that goes along with the word trust is assurance. And that implies absolute confidence and certainty. And this is how we need to approach God as we examine his word, his person, his work, his way, his will. We should do so with absolute confidence in him and certainty that everything he does and says is right. Now that goes completely contrary to the world's view of God and the world's view of God's word. Because they want you to doubt. They want you to distrust. I say, we believe God. No matter what we Now our text makes it clear that we must learn to trust God from the very depths of our innermost being, our affections, our desire, our mind and will. We must be absolutely engaged in trusting God. That's what he says here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, with all of your affections, your desires, your will, your mind. And we must trust God instead of our flawed human reasoning. For difficult to do. Because when you come to a rough spot, you often think you can figure it out on your own. It's the natural way of thinking. Here he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and do something completely out of character for the normal human being. Lean not to your own understanding, but rather in all your ways acknowledge Him. We must cast ourselves completely and entirely upon Him without reservation, without hesitation. We have to be all in this trust in Almighty God. We must trust God and acknowledge Him in every circumstance of life. In the good times, as well as in the difficult times. When we're on the mountaintop, and when we're trudging through the valley, we're trusting the Lord with all our heart. And lean not to thine own understanding in all thy ways. Every day, everywhere, acknowledge Him. And as we place our complete trust in our sovereign God, we must do so believing that He will guide us and direct our path every step of the way. Is that how you view God? Do you really believe that He is so involved in your life, that He's so personal in your life, that He'll direct your every step? As a child of God, I believe with all my heart tonight that our Heavenly Father is completely trustworthy. That all of His promises are true, and that He will never fail or forsake any of His children. You see, tonight, I have faith in God's providence, His promises, His power, and His grace. I believe God. Now, the first point I want to make tonight is where this trust must begin. In order to truly trust God and take comfort in His Word, you have to have something to build upon. I mean, think about it. All trust is born out of a relationship that you have with someone. It's very difficult to trust someone you don't know very well. I mean, have you ever met somebody and you kind of a little standoffish thinking, I don't know if I can trust this guy? A lot of people look at me that way. My beard's a little crazy, you know. And they wonder, is this guy on the up and up, you know? Well, the fact is, it's natural way of thinking. The way that you begin to trust someone is when you know them and you have a relationship with them. Truly trust God with all your heart. You must embrace and believe the promises relating to Jesus Christ. You must obey the command to believe on Him in saving faith. Otherwise, you cannot have any real trust in God without a relationship with Him. Think about this. The Bible commands, or says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You can't have any confidence about eternity unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you die in your sins, it means that they still belong to you
and you're going to pay for them throughout all eternity in the lake of fire.
We have a command in the scripture, 1 John chapter 5. You say, well, what about human depravity? Well, man is depraved, but that doesn't alleviate his responsibility to believe. 1 John 5 verse 9 says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record. This is the promise that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Again, confidence and trust. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Tonight, do you truly have a relationship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come to an end of yourself, recognize that you're a sinner, that you're broken, you're polluted, you're undone, that you're nothing without Christ, and that you recognize that the only way you can be saved is by simply trusting his death, his burial, and his resurrection, all according to the promises of the Scripture? That's the only way to be saved. Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now for me, the fulfillment of that promise came 40 years ago this very month. And it was the most glorious, wonderful thing that has ever happened. I'm so grateful to God that he brought me out of the miry pit and set me upon the rock of Jesus Christ and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. He changed my life completely. Tonight I can assure you that the greatest thing that can ever happen to you is to know. And I don't know if this illustration is true or not, but I heard a story about a guy. This was back like early 1900s. And there was a guy that said, and I think this illustrates what saving faith is really all about. Anyway, this guy said, "I'm going to cross over Niagara Falls. I'm going to stretch a cable across it, and I'm going to walk across it with a wheelbarrow to steady me." He printed up flyers. He handed them out and advertised this big ordeal. Well, you know what? Back then, there wasn't much to do. People showed up. Everybody likes to see a wreck, you know. So people responded. There were people lined up everywhere. And the guy is getting ready to start. Everybody's cheering. "You're an idiot! What's wrong with you, man? There's no way you'll ever cross there. You're going to die in those falls." He goes, you know, people are still yelling at him. He gets about a third wave
over and some of the crowd starts going, I think the guy, he's almost halfway. Got a little wobbly, you know. Three quarters of the way, the people that were once jeering him are now saying, you can do it, man. Get across. Get to the other side. All the way there, the crowd. Man, everybody starts cheering. He says, do you believe I can do it? And they said, yes, we saw it with our own eyes. It's amazing. What if somebody would have took him up on it? They would have gotten the wheelbarrow. See, there would be absolutely nothing they could do to get to the other side. They would have had to completely trust and rest in his ability to get them safely to the other side. All they could do is just depend entirely upon the skill and the ability of someone who says, believing that everything that he's done is enough and that he will safely take us all the way to the other side, to glory. I've been in the wheelbarrow for 40 years and he's never failed. He's never forsaken me. He is the foundation of all trust in God, as illustrated in the parable about building your house upon the rock. In Matthew chapter 7. So tonight, this trust has to begin with a real relationship with God in Jesus Christ. So I hope tonight that you truly know Him. Now my second point is, why is God trustworthy? Why should we trust God with everything at all times? Well, God is pure and holy. God will never lie or deceive. Flowing from His essence of eternal holiness and purity are the attributes of righteousness and truth. Think about this. The one that we trust in for salvation is called the way Jesus Christ is truth personified. The one that we trust will never deceive. Now that's somebody you can trust in. He's not like a politician who says one thing and then to get elected and then does something entirely different, or maybe even just completely lie altogether. That's the way they are. But not so with God. You can trust Him completely because He's pure. He's holy. He's unlike anybody else in this whole world. And then another reason why God is trustworthy. I think this is a great reason. Because God knows all things. Nothing escapes His watchful eye. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. I may preach a sermon later on in the week if you haven't listened to it on sermon audio yet. I know some of you listened to the sermon audio and I thought, they're going to hear a lot of repeats. Then I got to thinking, they probably really need it. So, but I preach a sermon on Sunday on Job 23, verse 10. But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me,
He shall come forth as gold. See, Psalm 139 talks about God's omniscience wherever you're at, and He knows everything. I'm so glad. The Bible says, known unto God are all His works from the foundation of the world. I'm trusting in somebody who knows everything. All at once. Who can see the future. Who knows, because He's the one that determines the future. I'm trusting in the God who's ordained it all, who sees it all, who knows everything about everything. You can't go wrong trusting somebody like that. Because He's never mistaken. God never has to say, you know what? I was all wrong about that. I thought I had it right, but
God is completely, perfectly knowledge of everything all at once. How amazing is that?
See, all you know is what you studied. And a lot of times tonight, you can't see anything outside of here.
You don't even know what's going on in the foyer. You can't see it all. You don't know everything that's going on. God knows everything. He knows every problem. Every single one.
The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Men may not discover it. But make no mistake about this. Everything's naked before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And you got to understand, you think things may not work out the way you want, but God has a purpose. And every single thing that happens is for His glory and for our good. Which brings me to the next one. Why should we trust God? Completely. Why is He trustworthy? God has a plan. He has a purpose. He is sovereign. And He's right in everything that He does. I don't know anybody else like that. The very best of men don't have the power to carry out every good intention. Not so with God. You see, turn over to Isaiah chapter 46. One of my favorite passages. Isaiah 46, and look at verse 9. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do. You know, you can pillow your head tonight depending entirely upon the sovereign God, that He does all things well. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. A man by the name of Gene Richter said, how calmly may we commit ourselves to the hands of Him who spares us the world. Do you trust Him tonight? Do you trust God? Do you truly believe that He's worthy of your trust because He's holy? Because He's all-knowing? Because He has a purpose that He's working out that will never fail. Man, God is for us.
If you're a child of God, not everything he's doing is wrong. We have a promise from the Word of the living God. It says in Romans chapter 8, everybody knows it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to his purpose. David, preacher, you don't know the trials I'm going through right now. You don't know the afflictions that I'm facing. I don't need to know. I can tell you this, God's trustworthy. He'll get you through it. I believe God, just like Paul did when everybody else on that ship thought it was going down and that everybody was going to lose their life. Paul said, I believe God, it shall be even as he told me. That's the kind of faith we can have. The Bible says this, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. See, our affliction is our light in comparison to what we deserve, which is an eternity in the lake of fire. Everything else is light in comparison to what we deserve. That's the weight of affliction that God brings into our life. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. See, that's the length of our afflictions. They're just momentary. They're just temporary. Even if you have a physical problem that plagued you all your life, it's not going to last any eternity. Most of our trials are only momentary. Most of our afflictions, this too shall pass. But God has an end. Every affliction that he ever sends your way, he's already stamped its approval and sent it your way for his good, for your good, and his glory. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When God sends a trial or an affliction, he's trying to wean you from this world and your dependence upon everything that this world has to offer, so that you will look entirely not at things which are seen, but at the unseen hand of Almighty God bringing you through every day. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You might fall, but he'll raise you up. He'll grant you strength. James said, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations. God's trying your faith and maturing and bringing it to perfection. Now this is amazing to me, that God is for me in spite of everything he knows. He knows everything that's in my heart. Every sinful thought, every prideful thought, every wicked motive that I allow in my heart. Yes, God. All the promises. His son, Jesus.
That's a flabbergasting. That amazes me. That astounds me. That God has that much interest and concern for a sinner who lives in Buffalo Creek Road that the world at large knows nothing about. Yet God is working in me both to will and to do His good pleasure. See, when you understand God in that sense, it ought to make you want to trust Him with everything you have. God is faithful and compassionate. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. You know, if you look to men, you're going to be disappointed. They're going to disappoint you in some way, shape, or form, even the best of men. I tell this to my grandkids. Look for the Lord. You know, I let my grandkids every once in a while fall over. They'll rear back, and man, they'll hit me with everything they got. You see, the God in whom we are trusting, He has all power and ability, and He's faithful to use it on our behalf. I'll fail my friend. Why I tell us to trust the Lord. Depend upon Him. I'm going to go over. Our God in whom we trust is a God with a great, warm, loving heart. A thinking God, an active God, a working, personal God who cares. 1 Timothy 4:10, we trust in the living God. My God alive. He's involved. He knows what you're thinking right now. God is big enough and powerful that there's nothing too hard. You may think you're facing something that is just insurmountable. You take it to the Lord. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Now lastly, when should we trust God? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy steps. In all thy ways. That means every moment of every day. In times of prosperity, in times of poverty, in times of joy, in times of sorrow, in the good times and those that you think are bad, in victories and defeats. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, even when we don't fully understand all that's going on around us. We must submit ourselves to God's providence. If we really believe the truth of our text, if we're really going to lay hold on it, we got to acknowledge Him every day, every way, every moment. How much better our lives would be if we would just submit and resign ourselves completely to His will and make these verses a reality. And listen, children, what is the biggest problem in modern day? Most
most of it is geared toward hearing and speaking. All it is information. Yes, I believe you are. You are an announcement. You are praying. You are telling what the Bible says. But listen, all preaching should be aimed not merely at it as information, but transformation. Tonight, you ought to lay hold on it. It ought to lay hold on you.
When you go out of here tonight, these verses ought to be burned in your soul. They ought to be on your heart. They ought to be in your mind. You ought to be trusting Him and acknowledging Him in all your ways. See, we've got examples of great saints of God who were tried, who were tested, who had great afflictions in their life, great trials. Job. Boy, I preached on Job on Sunday. You know, some people like to throw rocks at that old brother. I can't hold a candle to his spirituality. After everything was taken away from him, he was able to say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." After he'd been on that hill of suffering, he was able to say, "Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him." After all, how about Abraham? He was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Hebrews says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. He had no idea where he was going. All he was doing was obeying God's call. In all his ways, he was acknowledging God. How about Moses at the Red Sea? I mean, think about this. What if you were out there and all of you're in the wilderness, you're doing the trials, doing the everyday stuff, and all of a sudden you come on, there's a burning bush. That was really strange. I've never seen a burning bush. I mean, one that was glowing, and then when I went over to check it out, I heard somebody talking. You ever heard? Has that ever happened? No. It never happened to Moses up to that point. God spoke to him. He believed God. He led the children of Israel out of Egypt after 10 plagues. And the Pharaoh just throwing everything he had at Moses. Each time, Moses just obeying God, doing what he says. Finally, God is so done out. They get to the rescue. Somebody was caught. It wasn't the reason. Some people say, well, that was only about 6 inches deep. I'm like, that'd be a heated breaker here. All players were scared to get around. It's all about this. No, it was the rescue. And here you have Moses is directing all these Israelites. I mean, multitudes of them. Dry shod, the Bible says. You know what that means? They were kicking up dust.
that sea bottom would have normally been Kentucky. They got to the other side, they look, and they see Federals coming. And all those chariots, they take for Zoom to go after the children. And God brought all those stars. They saw it all.
They saw the power of God. Have you ever seen? Have you had Red Sea in your life? And you see God part the waters and enable you to get to the other side? He's able. In all thy ways acknowledge him. The three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. Even though for all intents and purposes, humanly speaking, their stand would have cost them their lives. But they believed God's plan. They believed God could deliver them. Same with Daniel and the lion's den. Disciples in the storm. How about Peter walking on the water? He was the world's greatest water walker.
Among men for a little while. Lord, big God. The only one that went. That's the one that went.
Are you trusting God in all times, in every situation? And are you acknowledging his providential hand working? More important than anything, are you trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel? I pray that you know him. But see, I can trust God when it's my time to die. I don't know when I'm going to die, but I'm ready. I have full confidence that my sins have been forgiven, and that I'm going to spend all eternity with the one who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you have that kind of confidence in me? You can trust him with your soul. You can trust him. God help us truly live out his purpose. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy way. Brother, you come ahead.